Morning, colleagues. It's Ken. I'm trying to get my camera set up here, so bear with me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yay, my camera's working. Okay, good.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Amaya.
I want to apologize. Last time I had to leave early because I had a doctor's appointment, and I didn't tell any of you before the meeting that I had to leave. So I just left, and I felt so bad about it.
That's no problem. We'll just apply whatever punishments you do in your syllabus for your students.
Okay.
And so whatever leniency you grant the undergrads, you shall receive in return.
Okay. I'm very lenient.
Good. Oh, excellent. Been good. Because I'm terrible at playing the heavy. Chair Campbell, do you want to give another minute or two maybe to see if any others? Yeah, there's more that are coming on.
I think that's a great idea, Ken.
Okay, I defer to you to start whenever you'd like to start.
So, let's see, are we still short or waiting on someone?
Don Holly?
Yeah. I knew somebody was missing.
And then we've not had Noor Kamasani at any meeting yet, but Don is typically here, and I know he sent a document this morning, some edits to the survey language I had shared with the email on Monday.
And we'll just give them another minute and see if that maybe just got sidetracked for a minute. Well, let's go ahead and get started, and maybe Don will join us shortly. April, if you wouldn't mind, as we call the meeting to order, would you be so kind to do the roll call for us?
Yeah. Okay, Angie Campbell.
Present.
Mona Davenport.
Present.
Diane Burns.
Here.
Don Holly. Carlos Amaya.
Present.
Claudia Dani. And Nora Comasini.
You got a present from Claudia, right? She is, okay.
I see.
Okay, our next agenda item is the approval of the minutes from our February 17th meeting. April sent those out earlier to us for review. So hopefully everyone has had some time to take a look at those before we have a vote on those to approve. Is there any discussion?
I just had a question. With the guest speakers, it says that we will have some people joining us in a meeting sometime in the future. Are those guest speakers also going to talk to the general public or just for the committee?
I'll respond to that, Carlos. I was expecting that these would be folks. All of this, I think, is tied to a sentiment that was raised, I think maybe a December meeting or one of our January meetings, about learning about the context of these honorary statues and building names and how that kind of sits in the national conversation and national context. So I had always perceived it to be a conversation from a historian who can talk to us about the period of time of Stephen Douglas, but then also about what is happening in the national environment. And so I'd always assumed that would be a conversation directly with just the committee. But remember, the committee meetings are part of the public meeting, Open Meetings Act. And so anybody who wanted to attend that meeting could see that that was coming up on the agenda and could participate in that way. And April, I note that Don Holly just joined us, so.
Yeah, sorry, just lost track of time.
No, we're good, Don.
Okay, you didn't miss anything, Don, but the roll call. So at this time, I think that we are after answering, Carlos, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Adequately? Wonderful. Mm-hmm. At this time, then, I think that we are ready for a roll call to approve the minute, April.
Okay. I move. Angie Campbell.
Approve.
Mona Davenport.
Approve.
Diane Burns.
Approve.
Don Holly.
Approve.
Carlos Amaya.
Approve.
Claudia Dani.
Approve.
Okay. Moving on. Moving to the next agenda item is, we have a discussion about the survey questions and the forum questions. I know that Ken sent out a draft of the survey, and I will share that Don was so kind to share some feedback with Ken and myself and kind of edited it, or made some notation of a few of the remarks and let me get that pulled back up here real quick. I know, Ken, you said you would like to share that this morning.
Yeah, I was thinking that because I didn't have a chance to pull Don's version up with what I had sent out, it felt to me, Don, you can correct me, if it felt like some light editing because I recognized a lot of what I had originally drafted in there. And like many of you in this group, Don has years of professional experience making people's writing better with additions and corrections and edits. So it certainly looked good to me. Now, the thing I would ask is, Don, do you mind if I give you host status so you can share your screen? Because I can't, because I'm recording this meeting, I'm not able to then switch to a different screen to pull something up.
That's fine. It's gonna take me a minute to
okay.
Pull up.
Also, another option, Ken, would be to just drop a copy of it in the chat box so that everybody could pull it up.
That's true.
You're on mute, Ken. You're on mute, Ken.
Sorry. Angie, if you can copy and paste from it. I cannot minimize my screen to get to, well, let me try something here.
I was just going to drop the whole document there.
Fine.
Yeah, do that. Let's give that a try.
Okay, give me 1 minute here. I'm not seeing where it will let me put an attachment in there.
Okay. In the meantime, I think I've found a way to open it so I can then do a screen share. So whichever of us gets there first, Don or I.
I thought normally you could.
Oh yeah, this is good because I've got it up in a way that shows the tracks changes. So I'm going to make an adjustment to the view so it's probably a little bit easier for people to read. And then I will do a screen share. All of this I'm a little bit better at in Teams from practice than I am in Zoom right now. Okay, bear with me, everybody. Okay, somebody say out loud if you're seeing my screen.
Yes.
Yep. Big enough for bad eyes like mine?
Yes.
Okay. So what you're seeing is the draft that I shared with everybody on Monday. And then this is an edited version. So when you see strike throughs, you can kind of see additional language or things that were replaced.
Ken, I could just explain just briefly. So yeah, that first sentence is just repeated in that second paragraph. So I didn't feel in that second sentence of the second paragraph, it's pretty much the same sentence. So that's why I deleted that. And then if you scroll down a little bit, so you can see what I did here was I eliminated that second paragraph and incorporated some of that into the beginning to provide the context. So that's it. You know, that's just, again, some light editing. I also, if you go back up there, Ken.
Yep, where to?
I just crossed out or visitors to EIU. I like the focus on members of our campus community as sort of being where, you know, this is really about our campus and the students and faculty and staff that are here. So you'll see that on that second paragraph or visitors to EIU, I crossed out. But that's really it. Again, I don't think I really changed, other than the visitors to EIU, I don't think I changed the meaning of what Ken and Angie had written.
Yeah, and what I just, for context, I want to remind everybody that in our first draft of this, we had a format that had a brief introduction, and then it was structured as arguments in favor, argument against. And I think the feedback that was pretty clear from last meeting 2 weeks ago was that maybe we just need to give people the background and we don't have to lead them to the arguments per se, one side or the other. And in fact, could be a little bit disingenuous because maybe we're making the best argument, maybe we're not making the best argument in either direction, and why even entertain that notion? So instead, you know, what I tried to convey here was that here's what happened in 52, and then here's why it's now a question again today, why it's being bringing out. And then I just wanted to make sure that the history of the naming committee dealing with this was covered to some degree. And so I talk a little bit about the 2010 experience where there was a proposal to rename Douglas to Douglas, adding an extra S. So supplanting Frederick Douglass as the person honored as opposed to Stephen Douglass, that did not receive support from the naming committee, but the naming committee did recommend to President Perry that additional educational programming and additional signage be implemented to, I think, highlight the context of the debates and trying to frame the existence of the Douglas name around that idea of the debates instead of around the larger questions about Douglas's racist views or his approach in the political context of the 19th century. So then again in 17, there was a proposal again. This one rose through the Faculty Senate, and that was urging the president to change it now to Lincoln Douglas Debate Hall East and Lincoln Douglas Debate Hall West, or just to rename Douglas itself the Lincoln Douglas Debate Hall. In 2018, the naming committee voted against that proposed name change, and the president accepted that recommendation to not change. So that at least, the background of all of this, of course, is whether as exposition that readers would read before they get to the survey question, or as exposition that any of us at a forum would kick off a forum with kind of the introductory material. That's the purpose of even having any of this language pulled together. So curious about feedback about the copy above, and then we'll get down to the survey question too. But let's start with anybody's comments or thoughts or concerns about now how we framed it as an intro, the background answering the question, why are we considering the name change? And then the third piece is what has been discussed in the past.
I've got just a minor question or observation, I guess. When you're right here in this section where you're talking about the previous naming committees and what they've done, the first paragraph you're referencing the EI naming committee in 2, 9, 12, 10, and then President William Perry's citation at the end of that first paragraph. But in the second paragraph, you don't have that kind of citation. Just for consistency, you might want to put those kind of things in there as well.
I would love to do that, Diane, except I cannot find minutes or documentary stuff other than what I'm finding going through archival stuff from the Daily Eastern News. And so that naming committee was convened. And in fact, just to add a little extra context, which I don't think was necessary for this exposition, as I understand it, part of what the Faculty Senate asked the president to do was not only to consider renaming Douglas, but to actually staff and convene the naming committee. As I read some of the contemporary news accounts, it appears to me that the naming committee had kind of gone quiet or dormant. And that was also in the period when there was no vice president for university advancement. And so I could see where maybe that was something that was always led by the person who sat in my role with the university for many, many years. And so then all of a sudden there's no VP, maybe the naming committee just kind of stops doing its work. But all of a sudden the faculty has an item brought to their attention regarding the Douglas Hall name and continued concern about that. And they're like, well, the naming committee should handle this, but the naming committee hadn't even been meeting. So the accounts of the time suggest that this caused the naming committee to kind of be revived. And that's why I think I'm struggling to find any files or records in what I have. It kind of goes up to 2015-16 and Bob Martin, and then it kind of, there's no real files for a while. And then obviously with my arrival, we started pulling together documentation again. So I did struggle with that. And I could, put things that I could quote some things that as they were written. And so far, what I found is stuff from the Daily Eastern News. There could be some other places where we could find stuff, but.
Well, let me look in my files because I was on that committee and I have some documentation. So whatever I have, I'll send to you.
Oh, please. Particularly if you've got any minutes or if you've got any letter of response or written response from the president regarding that, President Glassman.
I'll tell you right now, I've already investigated some of it and they weren't very good at archiving this stuff, but I do have some remnants of that. So I'll send whatever I have to you.
Yeah, I will happily improve the provenance of that paragraph if I have a better leg to stand on. Nothing against the Daily Eastern News, but just literally that's where I was pulling, able to at least ascertain the dates. And it might also be faculty senate minutes, because I know since that in both cases, the request or the proposal to change the name of Douglas Hall, whether it was 2010 initiated experience or the 2017, in both cases, it rose up through the faculty senate and it had been discussed in those meetings, and it might be reflected there. So I know the resolution was passed by the faculty senate in October 2017, but there may have been a meeting in September of 2017 where the same professor who brought the proposal forward in 2010 was then no longer with EIU, but was interacting with our faculty senate in 2017, encouraging this question to be raised again.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or feedback?
If people are comfortable, I'd like to move down to the lower part here. I intentionally kind of gave three different ways, because in my notes from our conversation last week, it wasn't clear to me which direction or whether there was a consensus. So let me talk to you about the three different ways that I put questions in here. The first,
say real quick that I was editing as I was reading, so I didn't realize there was all these other options. That's why I made this comment.
Yeah, that's no problem. So the first one was, I actually kind of wrote some cribbed notes of us asking two questions, and I know we grappled with this, which is the first one is focuses on history of the debate, and then the second version, focuses more on Stephen Douglas as not being appropriate. One option is to put both of these statements in there in some form and give our survey participants and or our forum participants an opportunity to react to each of those questions. Another way to do it is to just do one simple question, one simple statement upon which they register agreement. The university should retain the name of Douglas Hall, because in a way that's kind of what the president at the core is asked of us to consider as a naming committee. Should EIU retain the name of Douglas Hall? Now, the third kind of batch I put together here was essentially four statements, because these four statements are a parsing of how the president described four options when he spoke with us at our December meeting, which is we should retain the name to commemorate the history, or retain the name, but we should double down on more education related to the debates. So I called that an enhanced. It's the 2010 decision that Perry made, but a little more enhanced. Then there's 1C, which is we should rename both buildings, Lincoln and Douglas, but now call them Debate Hall East and Debate Hall West, which is, I consider that a version of we're essentially reconsidering the question that the naming committee grappled with in 2017. And then there's 1D, which is the university should leave Lincoln Hall's name alone and allow that to be how we commemorate the debate, and that the Douglas name should be dropped and a different worthy individual substituted. So that's a drop Douglas, but don't give a new name. I think if we did these four options, it would be confusing as heck to a survey participant. It would muddy the waters of our conversation.
I actually changed my mind now that I'm looking at it. I kind of like your second option, which is simply, do we retain Douglas Hall? I think. And then you're right. That was the original charge by the president. And
how do other people feel about that?
I was kind of thinking about it, and I think I'm also coming toward making it as simple as possible. In a way, I think the only concern is with the phrasing, and we talked about that last time, right, is it's harder for people to go against a statement than to go for a statement, right? So if we phrase it as the university should retain, then it's going to be harder for people, you know, just mentally to say no than to say yes.
What would be asking the same question, but in a towards a positive instead of a dispositive.
Yeah, well, I don't know, you know, if we turn it the other way around, we'll have the same dilemma, right? So if we say should rename Douglas Hall, it'll be the same thing, just the other way around, right? Or rename. So the dilemma stays, whether you phrase it that way, but I think that would be my only concern, but I think simple is better. I mean, there could be maybe a version of two where there's just two options, you know, and people just select either the university should retain or should rename. You know, that way they don't have to decide yes or no on one statement.
But if I'm just going with human behavior here. If I get that question, the first one is retain a name, and the second one is rename. Well, however answered the first one, and maybe this is just me because I'm kind of OCD, I'll make sure that I answer the other one proportionally opposite, because I don't want the survey reviewer to think that my logic is inconsistent. And so if I was strongly agree with the first one, then I'll be strongly disagree with the second.
Right.
Because I'm worried about, looking like I don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Well, and we could give those two options and just have people select one of them, right?
Oh, they make a choice to pick which one of those they want. But that then it's just a yes or no. And before we were talking about a Likert scale where they measure their level of agreement with those two statements.
Yeah, you then need to add a second question that asks how strongly do you feel about the issue?
Oh, well, maybe that's how we get there then.
But, you know, either way, I don't feel super strongly about it, but that was just the only concern that I see with this question, because we might slightly tilt it because it's harder for people to go against something and say no than to say yes, just mentally.
I see. So they pick one, and then based on the one you chose, how strongly do you agree or disagree with the one you chose? Well, I guess you'd only be, how strongly do you agree with the one you chose? Okay,
for that number one, I have a question. For that number one, so you're proposing to say the university should retain or rename?
Well, I was just putting that in the side as if there was a different language we could use, but Claudia made a good point, which is, we have the problem either direction. If we frame it in one direction, we'll wonder if we asked it, we should have asked it in the positive or in the dispositive.
From my point of view, I would prefer to change retain to rename, because the way I see it is if you put retain, it's like we, the committee, is agreeing with retaining the name. But of course, if we switch to the other one, it will look like we are pro changing the name. But I prefer the rename rather than the retain.
I think simplicity suggests maybe rename is the better word to use. It's a little less, it's just more straightforward. University should rename Douglas Hall.
Yeah.
Any opposition to that wording?
I think from my perspective, I go back to the discussion with the president where our charge was really, should we retain the name or should we continue to commemorate the debate with the name of Douglas Hall? Kind of what you have in the first statement. And I read Don's comment as well, but that initial 1A, should the university continue commemorating the debate and retain Douglas Hall? I understand Don's comment about that you can commemorate the debate without the name, but it seemed like that was really his question to us, is that how we need to continue commemorating this debate, by the name of that hall? So my preference was really that 1A question stand alone by itself, because I felt like that was really the question that he asked of us. Should we continue to commemorate this debate with the name of Douglas Hall. And that, Ken, I'm actually looking at the very first.
Oh, the very first 1A.
Yeah, the very first 1A.
Doing a little housekeeping, sorry. So these two yellow highlighted are the survey questions that are in play here, or that people are advocating. But Angie, if I'm hearing you right, you would include the language that Don had struck, which is should continue commemorating debate as is.
I would, yes, because I think that really was the basis for the convening of the committee. He asked us, do we continue to commemorate the debate with this name? And it, yes or no, if we choose no, you know, then we, how do we commemorate it? Or do we commemorate it at all? But really what it boiled down to was, is this appropriate on our campus to continue to commemorate the debate? Because that was the initial intent of the name, was to commemorate the debate. So to me, that's where I continue to go back to, is that still appropriate today?
But I think the only thing that I heard in that sounds a little different than what the president communicated, at least from what I thought I heard, was the president hasn't asked us whether the university should commemorate the debate. The president has asked us whether we should retain the name, which commemorates the debate. So maybe it's just the batting order in which these words appear. University should retain the name. If you look at these two highlighted statements, this gets back to Claudia's interesting suggestion that maybe we have both these two, because these two are now stand in opposition to each other. The first one says, retain the name of Douglas Hall. I'll just put a note here about acknowledge debate connection somehow. But I think that putting it after the core item, which is the name. So then you have that first one, which is university should retain. And the second one is the university should rename. We encourage people to check one or the other. And then maybe we don't have to measure their intensity. That's just the moment where we give them the text box to talk about why. How do people feel about that?
I think having some kind of Likert scale as a third thing would be helpful, because that will allow us to get people who might be indifferent, but just forced to, you know, feel like they need to make a choice for the survey. That makes sense, right? So, you know, we might end up with a lot of people checking the box, but not really caring much about the issue. You know what I mean? So I think capturing that would be helpful as a third item in that kind of design.
In that structure, Claudius, you would have the 5-point Likert under both of the statements then, or connected to both of the statements.
Well, I think one option could be, you know, the first option on the sheet here, where we have them to both questions. And the second could be where they just pick one. And then there could be a third question that asks, how strongly do you feel about this issue? Very strongly to not strongly at all.
Okay.
Right. I think that would be helpful to know.
I agree with Claudia. If they have to select one of those two and then fill out the Likert scale, and they can only choose one of the two, but fill out the Likert scale, that may give us a little bit more context for those who choose not to answer that text box, but still allow them to share their feelings, you know, their agreement or disagreement feeling one way or the other, without actually having to put some content or context behind it. That may, you know, in some format be their context.
Okay, so I'm just structurally, I'm trying to visualize it. I'm in the survey, I come to a point where both of these statements or versions of these two statements appear, and the instructions are, please choose one, whichever of these, and choose only one that aligns with how you feel about the Douglas Hall question. And it's a forced choice, so they have to pick one or the other. And the very next thing that then happens is a prompt that asks me to register my level of the intensity of my agreement with that. And then, by the way, if we do that, then I don't think our Likert scale would include no opinion, disagree, or strongly disagree. It would now be a scale that would be somewhat, feeling somewhat strong all the way up to intense, some level of measuring intensity, because they've already said they're at least on the polar side of agree, right? We know they agree. It's how strongly do you feel about that? So we can come up with a way to give that kind of a 5-point descriptor that they can select. And then only after they've done that level of intensity measure by a Likert point, do we then give them the text box to talk about, if willing, please share with the committee why you chose the option you did and feel the way that you do.
If I can chime in here, I actually like the way that the 1A, the second 1A was written, because I think it puts the focus on the rename and then that the fact that it was the debates. So maybe.
Is it this one, Clark? Yeah. Diane?
Yeah, that one. And then just, get rid of Lincoln Hall in there. The reason why it was renamed to Douglas Hall was to commemorate the debates and then use that as the first choice of the two that we're thinking about.
So it would be these two now that we see on the screen.
Right.
In your suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Angie? Because you
I like it.
We're passionate about this perspective.
Yeah, I think I was just looking at the first one and wasn't really looking at that third group. No, I really like that suggestion.
Okay, if I did a little housekeeping and got rid of some stuff here real quick. Well, it wouldn't matter because it's still going to show up in edits. Until I stop tracking changes, it's going to be a little bit messy. Okay, so let me summarize to see if I have the sense of the committee that we think that the survey structure should be forced choice on their agreement with one of these two statements, and then an opportunity for them to register the intensity of their agreement, and then an opportunity for them to provide subjective information with a text box that is fairly generous in the number of characters that it allows. People comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah. Look good.
Just a question, Ken. When we say fairly generous, we obviously are not looking for a book,
right? I was gonna hope that Diane could work with our kind of faculty member who's helping us with the survey design. What's an appropriate size text box? No, we do not want somebody dropping in their 200-page dissertation into that. But by the same token, I'd hate for somebody to feel that a character limit, we're not talking about limiting it to the size of a tweet at 158 characters or whatever. We want them to have a little bit of room to roam if they need to.
Well, from having recently been doing some nominations, maybe like a 250 word limit.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was thinking 300. So it's definitely, I think, something in that ballpark.
And do you want to separately capture email addresses if they want to be contacted?
So then, I didn't even think about that. Let's go down to these remaining questions then. Okay, we kind of have gotten at the why they chose the answer they did, and also an other box. So I think your question, Diane, ties to this fourth batch of responses that people can give. We talked about name. Should name be optional? I believe that is the consensus of the group, right?
Definitely.
What about their status as being an employee or a student or community member? Is that optional?
I think it should be optional, but you also might want to capture that data. But there was a couple of comments from Carrie about that. One is that alumnus is actually a male designation, so it should be alumnus or alumna. And she was confused, and if she was confused, there our survey people might be confused by what you mean by hometown. Are you trying to get people that were born here but moved away?
Yes. What's a better way? I thought we were trying to get, where do you live today? Where do you live right now? Mm. Does it matter?
That was the other part.
I think it does matter. Oh, maybe it doesn't. I thought that I got the impression from the group that.
You could put Charleston resident, right?
Well, that would be community member, would it not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's a good point, Diane. Maybe we're capturing that. So I think the feeling was if 10,000 people from American Samoa flood our survey and weigh in on it, that may or may not matter to, or it may not have the same weight with the committee than, say, you know, the entire city of Charleston, every resident in town responds.
Well, maybe you could put the current state of residence or current state. I guess currently live in what state, something of that nature to.
But I'm happy to not have it in there at all. I think I would defer to the committee to see if it's important to you to know beyond whether they're a community member. And maybe we need to be clear about that. Resident of Charleston and or Coles County.
Maybe in that particular section, just do the other and then explain.
Yeah.
And then that way, if they are coming in from the America Samoa, they'll let us know.
Yeah. Oh, add that as a. I think I'm confused. How would I get at it, Diane? They wouldn't know in other to obviously mention that they're from American Samoa, to use our example.
Other locality?
I just think other's okay. Let's use it as a catch-all, maybe.
And then they can use the text box.
I think Carrie might be able to set up a text box. You've seen it in other surveys where you have the other. And it
has Once you do other, there's a way to, you know, limited number of characters where you can type in something.
Exactly.
This might sound a little devious, but do we need to write optional for, not the name, but for the other things? Like, can we just leave it up to them to decide whether or not to do it? I'd kind of like to have people... I really want people to indicate which of these they are. And if they decide to just not do it on their own, fine. We're not going to like create a form that forces you to fill one out. Although I guess there is the other. I just don't know how much we have to emphasize that it's optional there. I do kind of want to know who these people are. I think that's a big part.
When we met briefly with the subcommittee, that was when Stacey Elder was still on the committee to talk about methods and stuff like that, we briefly talked about the option of having the same survey but digitally in two locations, so that one can be restricted to people who have an EIU address, so that we can have one survey that can be filled out by sort of internal audiences, and we know no matter whether they provide their information or not, that they're either student, staff, faculty with an EIU account. And another one for all others. I don't know if that is still something we want to consider, but you know, that could be a way that in the absence of this information, we can still at least know, okay, this is internal publics and the other is external public.
For simplicity of administration of the survey, what if, I'm trying to get at Don's point here, which is, what if the only one that we allowed to be optional was their name? Every other one of these, it's not specific enough that we could somehow derive the identity. I mean, I guess theoretically it's possible.
Yeah.
If they were the one of only two people who lived in the town who also happened to be an annuitant of EIU, and you know, so I mean, I think so. If someone was trying really hard, maybe, but that's not really the intention of the committee or anybody. to if someone wants to give their feedback anonymously, we're not going to be trying hard to find out who they are. But it is important to us what their relationship is to the university, whether they're a current employee or a student, or do they live in the community? Are they an alum? So if we only made the name line optional and the other ones, they would have to answer those other questions to fully complete the survey. Would anybody object to that?
I think it's a good idea. I would suggest that the name maybe / contact information for the optional, because we don't want to necessarily guarantee that we're going to contact them. So, you know, the way that was phrased before was, would you want follow up? And here's your, you know, give us your contact information. But we don't necessarily want to promise that. So I'd say name/ contact information optional. And then that kind of implies we might get back to them, but it doesn't guarantee that we're going to send them an email as soon as they need one.
And sometimes that information, that question is listed last, where you're requiring them to answer everything else. Then at the very end, ask for that optional name.
Right, I agree.
I think the other issues with, you know, their current status, we need to make sure that they can check more than one. Somebody could be a current student and a community member, or a retired EIU employee and a community member. So,
So if we have that language of check any that apply,
we would
cover that, right?
Yes. And then do you need resident of Charleston, or since you're saying Coles County, where Charleston is obviously a Coles County locality, would it just be a resident of Coles County, or do you need?
Well, that's a good point. If we just said resident of Coles County, and that was just to explain what community member was, what we're defining as a community member, a resident of Coles County. Is anybody going to be mad if they're from Edgar County or from Douglas County, or?
They get the other box.
Yeah. Okay. And they can explain. Good point, Diane. All right. All right. In the interest of efficiency of the committee meeting time, I'm going to incorporate these changes and send out a new clean version of the survey language. And by the way, we're just working on survey because all we need for our forums is the exposition stuff. Because after we've done the exposition, we're just going to open the floor to referee comment, you know, the people taking turns at the mic speaking into the virtual meeting. So if we're comfortable there. So I will clean this up, send it out today, and try to get affirmation from the group and that way we can hand it to Diane to get it put into a draft survey form. And I know she's already kind of built the skeleton of a concept, our colleague in psychology. So it should just be a matter of plugging in these new options or language that we've suggested. Thanks. Lots of woodshed work there, but very helpful. I appreciate it.
One comment I'd like to add to this while we're working on the survey is Don had raised last time about whether or not it was safe from having people stuff in more than one answer. Like, you know, they felt very strongly about it, so they went through the survey 16 times. And there actually is a prevent ballot box stuffing option to be on the Qualtrics. So it's not foolproof, but it's unless somebody's really, really being tricky, they can't do it more than once. It'll reject it. So
the Russian bots can defeat it, but most folks won't be able to.
Exactly. And I don't think the Russians really care about this. So
probably not. Okay. Thank you, Chair Campbell.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the forum dates and to finalize the schedule and identify facilitators. I know that we have a forum date for Faculty Senate. And
can you remind us of that date, Don or Angie?
Yes, it's March
24th
at 3 p.m.
Mona, I know you made an inquiry with some colleagues in student affairs. Have you heard back about any of the our colleagues also with some of the student affinity groups? Have you heard anything?
Well, Cece was the one that responded back because I copied the advisor on there. I haven't heard back from Nathan, and he has IFC and Panhale. But her recommendation is that we should set a date. And as long as we're given 2 or 3 week notice, then we just send it to them and then just hope that they come. It said to try to get them to organize a date. And the thing that was so weird is Nora's like, well, I'm on that committee. I'm like, well, you ain't been in no meetings. So she's the president of student government. So she did say that, you know, it's a bad time. So, but she's going to help me in getting the meeting set up where she makes sure that at least the student government folks are there. And so I'll just send out the date to Nathan and then we'll just decide what we're going to do as far as getting those groups in.
Okay, so we'll push a date onto them. We'll kind of say, this is what we're looking at.
Yep, and we'll do it for both groups. Yep.
Okay, and those will be two fora. One will
be two forums. One forum will be student government, IFC, and Panhale. And then the other group will be BSU, LASSO, and MPHC.
Okay, and then I will try to organize one that I'll call the Res Life one, which would be Douglas Hall Council and RHA. So that's three kind of affinity group forums for students. I think we still need one general student forum. So we'll look at just setting a date for that. And then we need a community forum. So if everybody's keeping track there, that is, do we, Angie, should we do a staff forum?
Yes, I've got it on my agenda to talk with them about that at our next meeting, which is next Wednesday.
Okay, so I'm going to read down this list just so everybody's kind of clear with this. And April, if you wouldn't mind taking these down, because I did speak with President Glassman about getting his help in promoting these forums to really to add the imprimatur of the president and the weight of his support of saying really encouraging members of the community to get behind it. And all he asked is that we create one master calendar so it can go out in one communication. He didn't want to be sending out seven different, hey, go check out this forum. Coming from him, he wanted one master pretty graphic that we could combine them all into one chart. So we have a faculty forum, which we now know the date for, 324. Then there are three affinity group specialty, and those will be on what we advertise, but those are really for invitation of the students in those groups. There's the one that's student government, IFC, and Panhale. There's another one that's Black Student Union, LASSO, and the MPHC. And there's a third one that's with Douglas Hall Council and RHA. Then we have the fourth forum that we need to make sure we schedule is a general student forum. Then the fifth one is a community forum, and the sixth one is a staff forum in no specific order.
So if this is the way we're going with the master calendar, are we going to have Zoom invites attached to all of those? And if so, are you or Angie going to be the host and record them all? Like, how are we going to do that? I mean, before I knew this, I was just going to send an all faculty email about the faculty forum, but it does kind of make sense to present it all as here's all the forums, but I just wonder logistically, how do we do this with Zoom and who's hosting?
Someone with better Zoom chops than I, is there a way that we could essentially have one Zoom address with one Zoom meeting code? Well, but then if that's out on posters, how do we do it? Poster have to say about how you get to the Zoom?
You're going to need a contact person
each forum.
For each forum, and you can't do a single one for all the groups. You'd have to have a separate invitation, but somebody's going to have to be the contact person that then would send the invitation to interested parties.
So the only two that I think are problematic with that approach is the community forum and the general student forum, right? Because I'm going to make some assumptions, and please push back, but I'm going to assume that Angie would be capable and willing to be the facilitator for the staff forum.
Yes.
And I'm going to assume that Don can serve in that capacity for the faculty forum. Please push back if you don't want that responsibility. Is it okay, Mona, to assume that you would do the BSU LASSO MPHC, that you'd be willing to be the leader for that one? The facilitator?
Yes.
Okay. I am happy to facilitate the general student forum and the community forum. So that leaves
student government. I can do the other. I can do the two student groups.
Okay, then how about I do the Douglas Hall? I'll do the Res Life one. I'll work through Joey Stone on that one. So you do the student government, IFC, Panhell,
and then I could do BSU, LASSO, and MPAC.
Okay, and I'll handle the Residence Hall constituency and the others. Okay, and so
Mona, if you need help, I can help you with any of those groups.
Okay.
And could we get a contact in IT, kind of like we had with Dustin, to help set these up and maybe do the recording for us, so that as facilitators, we could, you know, more focus on that rather than the actual recording and getting it, you know, people in and whatnot?
I think we could, although what I've learned, Angie, is as you set up the Zoom address, because you have to create the Zoom before you share the meeting details with people, there's an option and where I think it's like if you click advanced options or something, there's a way that you, as you build it, you just check a button that says automatically record the meeting. So then when the meeting happens, it's just getting recorded and you don't even have to think of it. And as the meeting ends and your computer is saying, hey, slow down, we're recording this, we'll tell you when the recording's done. And then you can move on to checking your email and other stuff after the meeting. I always have to build in a minute or two when our meeting ends as the recording gets consolidated. So it's actually not that difficult, but I think IT would be willing to help us. But what I'm envisioning then is this mass advertising. In the case of the faculty forum, they would be, the poster would instruct people to contact Don Holly for the meeting details. And for the, you know, student government IFC Panhell, it would be to contact Mona. For the BSU LASSO MPHC, it'd be to contact Mona and or Carlos, however you guys want to do that.
I would do both. Just put Mona / yeah, and we can do Carlos.
Okay. And then the and for the staff forum, they would, it would direct them to your email, Angie Campbell. And then for the two more broadly open ones, the general student forum and the community forum, those I would probably create unique Zoom addresses that would appear on the posters. Running the risk, I think it's a slight risk that it would be physically possible that more than 500 people would try to log in. But I don't expect that at either one of those, we would have more than 500 people attempt to participate.
The only caveat I would put to that is that there are people out there with too much time on their hands that would porn bomb them, you know, sign on and start putting inappropriate language and whatever up. So you might want to think about that.
That's kind of why I wondered about IT, you know, being able to kick people out or whatever, if we needed that type of assistance while we're still facilitating, you know, just to have somebody else in there with us. To kind of look after things.
I don't know that in Zoom you can kick people out of a meeting.
You can if you control the room, if you're the moderator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, there's an option to remove. In fact, I was hovering over your name, Diane, and I looked at the more option and it's this close, Diane. Just, you better watch yourself.
Note taken.
At any minute, the seat drops out and you fall into a bucket of water.
I would have a suggestion, too, for whoever's moderating. It might be to hire a student to monitor the chat in the while you're facilitating it, not necessarily for the Faculty Senate, but for the student groups, just to help you make sure, because the questions, I've been in on some of these meetings that are 100 people, and you just can't keep track of what's going on and monitor the chat. So it might be a good use of student help to get somebody to moderate that for you.
I think that's a great suggestion, Diane, particularly any of them that are going to have, you know, where we might expect, you know, a robust participation or something more than 15 or 20 folk.
And Ken, I'm happy to help you on the community one, and maybe, you know, I can help with that chat or something.
Yeah, actually, what I was going to suggest is that I think Mona and Carlos might be onto something, that anybody who I assigned personal responsibility, feel free to recruit maybe a helper from the committee or another helper to, you know, to kind of do it with you just for those kind of things, to monitor chat and to, you know, for things that may come up. And the whole point of recording is so that we're not burdened with writing a bunch of notes down, that we can literally just facilitate and play MC host, because the content will show up in the recordings. The other thing is, Don, for example, you're doing faculty, but I want you to allow any member of this committee to be in that forum as well, because we're either going to listen to them as they happen, or we're going to want to listen to them on the recording. So for me, I'd rather watch it as it happens than have 7 or 8 recordings built up that I got to go listen to or watch. So I think everybody who's facilitating one should make it clear, unless Mona and Carlos, you think for the student ones, the students would be less apt to share candidly if they thought there were a bunch of administrators and faculty in the room listening to what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I do think probably with our students of color, it might be a little intimidating if, you know, if we have folks outside. I know we're going to have, you know, Alpha Lambda. We're going to have the multicultural Greeks with the multicultural groups opposed with IFC and Panhale. So I do think that they would feel more comfortable probably with us if they wanted to say something. But the other thing I was going to recommend, I know that we might even want to touch bases, Ken, with Ryan, because I know for sure ITS sets up sometimes when we do searches. Well, they'll set it up for us. They'll be there. They'll monitor it. They can do stuff. Ryan might be willing, since this is a, you know, university thing, so we don't have to worry about giving out individual links, and they can do it and set it up, and they have a little bit more technology experience.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm going to put a start item on my to-do list here to touch base with our friends in ITS to see how they can help us pull this off. So at least for those student affinity groups, as committee members, we shouldn't push hard to try to attend those. Let's give the students a little bit of space. The broader student one, I think, will be fine in the community forum, obviously. But when we're working with, there's a reason we identify those specific subgroups of RSOs that we wanted to visit with.
Thank you.
Was to give them a chance to weigh in on this question.
So Ken, the way I'm thinking this through is I'm going to set up a Zoom invite, and I will send it to everybody on Faculty Senate and everybody on this committee. And then when people notify me, once that big call goes out and says, I want to be included, then I'll just forward that Zoom invite. Does that sound like a plan for a lot of us who are hosting?
I think that's a great way to do it. You can build it now and send it to the constituencies that you know. Like Angie, I'm sure will want to share it with Staff Senate once they have the date set. But then our poster is going to direct people to Angie to then get the Zoom details.
Ken, okay. If you want help with your groups, I'll be willing to help you out there.
Okay, great. I'm going to take note of that.
Even though you're going to drop me through the floor.
Well, I haven't yet, so now your prospects have improved. Well, I know we're running out of the normal allotted time. Can you remind us, Angie, what else remained on the agenda? We had no one approaches for public comment.
Just a guest speaker update, and then any other items for discussion.
Okay, I'll very quickly on the guest speaker. I have inquiries out with the, there were three history professors that were suggested by Stacy. I have some email inquiries out, no responses yet. I was contacted early this week on Monday by a gentleman who's the executive director of the Illinois State Historical Society. And he copied in his conversation with me, a history professor from Millikan. The inquiry was seeking to provide their expertise or to consult with our committee as needed. I shared with them that I would raise that with this group. I think maybe we can talk about it at our next meeting to see if we want to take them up on an invitation, or maybe something as simple as one of those two would be someone we invite to come and speak at a meeting in April. But I told them at this time, we're still in the roll up our sleeves, survey development and forum scheduling, but that'll be something we can consider our next meeting. So by our next meeting, I should have details on someone who can come and speak to us about the historical context of Douglas in his contemporary historical period, and then the Douglas question in the 21st century. And should have more details at our next meeting. I think that's it for the guest speaker piece.
Okay.
I do have an additional question. So once we solidify this date, we're going to send this to Ken and Angie for.
Yeah, as soon as you get a date identified so that we can pull together that master calendar.
And I just want to clarify one other question as a follow-up to Don's comment earlier. Are we going to go ahead and set these up individually as Don suggested, or are we going to wait until we contact Ryan and see if they want to set them up, or how do you want to handle that?
Yeah. I just go ahead and start, because we can always add in folks from IT after the fact.
Okay.
You know, there's no reason that if we decide that we are going to want or need IT help in a particular meeting, that we can't add them as a moderator or as a host.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, let's not let getting that question answered delay people if they want to get them set up.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, in that case, then I am ready for a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Take a second.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Angie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.